This podcast is brought to you by Vivino. Discover and buy wines wherever you are. Visit vivino.com/heritage to stock up.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Happy fucking 4th of July, y'all.
Hell yeah. Fireworks, baby. Fireworks. It's...
Jeez. That too much, maybe? All right. This is The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
Hi, my name is Souther Teague.
What's going on, Souther?
Not too much, man. I'm going to celebrate America.
America. You always
Some red and white dynamite.
You always do.
Yeah.
I'm over here drinking cider like an idiot.
Yeah, well.
Well, no. That's probably more historically accurate.
I think so.
At the time. What are you queuing up over there,
Dave? That lead in? Oh, no.
Are we going to do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Historically accurate cider drinking on the 4th of July, because it's Independence Day here in America. All right. Enough of that.
Yeah.
yeah. So I think we should just jump right into this show.
Yeah, we should.
Because, you know, I don't have anything to talk about last week.
Yeah, me neither.
In the studio today, we've got Dave Wondrich and Noah Rothbaum of another podcast that's pretty doing some pretty great work out there, Life Behind Bars, which is a great name. And strangely, actually, my book, I'm Just Here for the Drinks, that was going to be the sort of the undertitle, Serving Life Behind Bars.
Did I ever tell you that was actually
But the editorial team nixed it. They were like, sounds a little jail-y.
That was actually going to be the name of this show.
Life Behind Bars?
It was in the running for the title.
Way back in the beginning.
There's already a book in the 20s called My Life Behind Bars by a bartender. So everything's been taken.
Yeah.
And to be honest...
Taken, reused, recycled.
Yeah.
To be honest, it did take iTunes, the first episode, like an inordinate amount of time for them to approve it, because I do think that they thought it was about prison. So I think somebody actually sat down and listened to it and was probably... really grossly disappointed that it was Dave and I kicking out about it.
It didn't help that our sponsor was originally Pruno Ricard.
That's true.
Right.
That's true. The whole episode was...
Yeah, Pruno Ricard.
Did we even introduce our guests?
Yeah, I did.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just jumping right into it. Okay.
So, but I give them, it's a real short introduction. I just said what they're doing now, but everybody has at least an inkling of what these guys have done in the past. Dave Wondrich, a historian of spirits and drinks, author of many books, Noah Rothbaum, editor of the Daily Beast Half Full, also author of several books like Titans in Our Industry.
We've been called worse today.
Yeah. Today. Oh, wow. Today.
How many shows
have
you done
today? We took the
subway
here.
It's a hell of a day.
This is like the seventh podcast. I'm just following Dave on his normal rounds.
Yeah.
Well, we did bring something that is, I have to say, oddly appropriate for this 4th of July celebration for both of you. And I mean, Dave can speak more to the history and the tradition of this libation as his want, but I thought you guys would really appreciate the Smirnoff
Ice. You motherfucker!
Red, white, and blue.
So we AKA have, D's Nuts.
We have one for each
iced.
Of you.
Oh,
you've been
Jesus.
Iced, and then
you
Dave and
son
I.
Of a bitch.
Dave and I are just going to drink Booker's while you guys drink Ice. So it's totally fine. So
okay.
Once you finish those, you can have some
on your knees.
Thanks for letting it get to room temperature.
Yeah.
It's better that way.
Yeah,
for the botanicals come out.
That's
I find.
The thing that
for the edification of the listener, we just got iced by Noah Rothbaum. He brought us the Red, White, and Berry limited edition.
Limited
so
edition.
So it's definitely appropriate for July 4th because it's red, white, and blue.
And I wanted it to be true to 1776, since it would be room temperature then, since ice was hard to come by. So
yeah,
we're also. I mean, if it makes you feel better, we're not going to have this bourbon with ice either. So
I like
so.
How you're.
You're quite a gentleman.
Here, I think these are Noah's keys. Oh, he's got an opener on there.
All right, so that's the show for this week.
Good night, everybody.
This is the last time
we're
going to
throw these assholes
else.
Off right now.
So I guess.
All right, we do have to take a knee for this.
Yeah, we will.
Do.
So we're going to be off the mic drinking these things real hard and fast. By the way, this is my second ever ice. Normally I flatly refuse them. I literally
you must not have a lot of friends.
I literally say the phrase, "You'll forgive me if I don't shake hands." Like that's usually my retort. I'll take this one because it's the 4th of July.
I have to speak to the color of this.
Yeah,
actually.
It's red, white, and blue.
No, the actual. Well, sorry, you're colorblind, but It's a very, very light blue.
It's a kind of Windex color, I think.
Yeah, so like...
we filled it at McCarran Park in the pool,
actually. Oh, cool. All right,
yeah.
Ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
Cheers, asshole. Independence.
Right. You guys talk about your podcast.
And I have to say, this is the first time that I've actually iced anybody. So,
well, you couldn't have picked a nicer bunch of people.
Yeah, sure. So, welcome back to 2012.
And more game. Look at that.
Look at this.
Teague is down.
Teague is done.
Done.
This is
like oh, the, man. Woo! And Bolte. You Whoa. Guys are American heroes.
Forget the Nathan's hot dog.
I've never seen
contest.
Anybody actually finish one of those
wow.
before.
I thought you would take a little sip and maybe spit it out.
Guys. No, you gotta go full in.
All right, quick with the
and
bookers.
Since this is a podcast, nobody would have
also,
known.
Also, I was going slow because I'm a musician. I wanted to finish with the song.
Yeah, okay. You did so well. You definitely
you got no tempo there, buddy.
Here, you've got a chaser.
Good sync job.
There's a chaser here that should help
oh,
everybody.
We're going to chase this
with Booker's bourbon.
Fuck.
Yeah. Also, hey, 4th of July, America.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah. You're right.
Also, I have to say, it wasn't awful.
I will say it was very
Kool-Aid like.
It tastes like there's a specific flavor of Kool-Aid that tastes exactly
I'm gonna
like.
Say berry blue.
Cheers, yeah. America.
It tastes blue.
Yeah.
Cheers.
All right.
This will be nice.
This
will be better.
You don't need to chug this.
Okay, so
now that we've gotten that out of the way, our annual icing.
So I've been listening to your show since the beginning and
you want your money
this
back.
This is how you...
we'll give it right now. How much do you... How many
again,
episodes?
for the listener, this is how they kick off every episode.
they ice each other?
No, they ice their guests.
We ice our guests, yeah. We don't have any guests, it turns out. So.
You've had a few, though, right?
We've had a few guests, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Morgenthaler.
Jeffrey Morgenthaler, most recently.
He was in town about a month ago.
Yeah.
He was on this show as well.
He had an up and down trail. He did your show, then he did Seth Meyers, then he did our show. I was like, damn, this must be a total letdown. Thanks for showing up.
Yeah. Your show and our show are the ends of the bell curve.
Right, he spiked in the middle.
So, okay, let's talk about the shows more. What made you start the show?
Yeah, exactly.
Was it because you were inspired by your time on the Speakeasy podcast?
Well, of course. we recognize our pioneers in this industry, and we celebrate them, and we try to surpass them whenever we can.
I mean, it was an interesting thing. I mean, I started at the Daily Beast about... roughly 2.5 years ago. It's like writing for them about 3 years ago. You know, I started writing for them and, you know, sort of with the idea that one day we would turn that into a section that Beast had never had, like a drink and food section, dedicated one. So I came on, you know, short list of people who I was hoping to recruit. Dave was obviously at the top of that list. He came on board as sort of our lead columnist. You know, as it turned out, 2.5 years ago, I think podcasts, you know, were at their height of, you know, everybody seemed to be starting a podcast, and it was all of the, that.
I've been doing this for 8 years, by the way.
That's true. That's and Facebook Live. So Facebook Live.
Facebook Live is actually a huge deal. We've been
tinkering with it. Yeah,
we mess with it, but it is, you know, because it's not any other post is not actually in like real time. It's Facebook Live is
for a long time. I would come onto the show every week and I would post something on Facebook. Hey, we're coming on the show. Next up is Dave and Noah or whatever. But that's not in chronological order.
Right.
So it could be in someone's feed tomorrow. The show's already happened. Right. So I started just doing it on Facebook Live and we got a lot more response. But then I've been kind of lazy about it. I need to get back to it.
And it was one of these things where, you know, I wanted to do it. You know, I talked to Dave. I wasn't sure if he had any interest. We both actually really did. And I think it's... You know, it adds another dimension. You know, it's so much of what we write about is about, you know, stories and the oral tradition and bars and being, you know, entertaining and the crack, you know, as the Irish would say.
I mean, I say that all the time about bartending in general. It's 80 to 90% storytelling.
Yeah.
Then there's,
on
you know,
the spot
then
right
there's,
now.
Exactly. Then there's some mechanics that have to be involved and then there's some know-how.
You know, for me, I'm a writer.
That's
the
smallest part.
Yeah. I spend all my time like researching and writing and developing drafts and going over stuff. I love being able to just get up and talk, you know, without having to sit there and, you know, take out the reference works and double check everything. It's a different skill. It's a different world, but it's also fun and it's also important. And you know, it's a hoot also.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Conversation is what, you know, connects us all. And I think weirdly, you know, we're getting further and further away from that. I don't want to get into that sort of technological, you know, sinkhole, but texting.
Yeah.
You know, being able to just press the button to say, yeah, I liked your comment, instead of looking at someone in the face and saying, oh, that's really brilliant. Thanks for mentioning that or whatever. But you two, your show is mostly, as we mentioned already, just the two of you chatting. You pick a topic.
Yeah, we pick a topic and we try to explore it and, you know, make a few jokes about it and kick it back and forth. And it's all about, like, it's that idea that... that's a great way of exploring a topic is to converse about it, you know?
Yeah.
There's back and forth, and there's a little bit of knowledge put in there, obviously, but there's also, when you discuss things, you learn about things.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Teaching is learning.
Yeah, teaching is learning, exactly. When you have to say it out loud, things that you've been thinking suddenly seem really stupid. You know, and other things.
Most of the things I say, quote from the show.
Yeah,
it's like I thought that was really smart, but listening to it, I don't know. That's kind of wrong and dumb. And then other things like suddenly appear out of nowhere, and you're like, I never thought of that, but because I have to talk about it, you know, my brain found another part of this.
Sure, someone else has an opinion, or they have a fact that you didn't know, and then suddenly you can expound upon that and keep going.
And I think, I mean, what I always loved about Dave's writing and continue is that he makes such interesting but deep history so fascinating and enjoyable to read and so easy to digest, you know, in his articles and lively. And that is even more so, you know, I hope in our podcast where that, you know, people just can enjoy it. And, you know, even though almost through osmosis they're learning a lot, but it's kind of fun. Like we're sort of hiding the history lesson in the cocktails and the stories, and I think it goes down really well, and hopefully people are mixing drinks while they're listening and enjoying that.
Yeah, I think also technically, you know, speaking for any kind of broadcast podcast situation, especially on the subject of like alcohol or food, those things are meant to be communal anyway.
Absolutely.
So when you have that conversational style, like for instance last year at Tales of the Cocktail, we had a seminar with our buddy Ryan from the Bartender Journey, and it was interesting getting to talk with him on this panel about the different styles of, because his is like, it's him and he edits it down and he does like a kind of like a history kind of lesson on it, and it's a great show. You should check out Bartender Journey. It's on iTunes, Stitcher and stuff like that.
It's on everything.
But the you know, for instance, like 2 years ago, I brought on Souther as my co-host because what we did was just talk.
Worst idea ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that was your first mistake.
Yeah. 6 years without a mistake.
But the thing is, like, what we were saying is, like, sometimes you have guests, but, like, it's usually you guys rapping, you know, but, like, Souther and I could just talk to each other on the show, and we had several times before the show. So
yeah, I'd say our original listener, my mom, who's probably listened to all of them almost every time.
Mom's listening right now.
Call me every time after the episode.
She says, "I have a face for radio."
goes live. She'll say, "That's real hard work talking to Dave for half an hour," like as a joke, just to like, you know, like, "Oh yeah, that's really hard work you have to do today." I'm like, "You know what? It is hard work, Mom.
It's tough.
It is hard work. We put a lot into this, but it is. I mean, to be fair, it is a lot of fun.
I mean, it's lucky. I think you know that Dave, particularly, you're frankly a super nerd, and you've got all of that history and all those archives to look back on and reference, but you're also a talkative guy. I think that's not always true.
No, that's not always true.
Nerds are usually introverts.
You're right. Well, I learned early on if you...
wanted to make money.
if you want to make money, you know...
You got to be both.
Yes,
you got to be both.
I went through a PhD program. I got a PhD, and there they teach you kind of the opposite, right? And it's just be super nerdy and... I would write all these articles and write, you know, I wrote a dissertation and I looked at it and it's like, nobody's going to read this. I worked for like 4 years on this thing and nobody's going to read it. I'm a slow writer. I don't want to spend that much time working on something that nobody's going to read. How do you get people to read what you're writing? Is, you know, I sat down, I said, I came up with the idea of write like you're talking to your intelligent friend. Like I was talking to one of you guys at a bar. You know, you guys are smart. You know stuff, obviously. Well, some... Yeah. Anyway.
That's too much credit.
That's another episode.
That's too much credit.
Yeah, yeah, but when you're talking to an intelligent friend, you know, you don't have to dumb things down, but yeah. At the same time, you're not using technical language, because that just sounds stupid. You know, it's like, that's not how people talk. So I try to write like that, and I think that helps, because what you realize is if you can't explain it in normal language, it can't be explained.
Right, right. Didn't Einstein say something along that line?
Probably.
Like, if you can't explain it to an average person, then you don't know enough about it.
You don't know enough about it, exactly. You don't understand it, because anything can be explained with normal language if you understand it deeply enough. I think that's true.
And it's a good fit for the Beast, because, you know, we have such a large audience. There are like a million unique visitors per day, right, to the site. So, I mean, we're drawing all types of people, and... You know, some of them have, you know, varying degrees of knowledge about cocktails and spirits and food. And, you know, they read, you know, Dave's articles or any of our other articles, and hopefully they enjoy them because they're great articles. And then you have people who, you know, are aficionados or bartenders or people who work in the trade. And they really want to know what Dave, you know, they know who he is, and they definitely want to read all of his articles. So it kind of works both ways. But we're always trying to be accessible and interesting to sort of a wider spectrum. There are plenty of other sites, podcasts, where the focus is so narrow and it's done on purpose, you know, for a very specific audience, and we're trying to get a little bit outside of the inside baseball.
Yeah. What I've always understood about your show is, like, what's cool about it is, in also both of your writings, the audience is kind of more, like, it's fun listening to the show in like one specific way for me, like, well, many ways, but one that I really enjoy is the fact that, like, neither of you guys have, you write with all the passion of, like, bartenders, but you've never, like, you haven't been torn down by the wear and tear of, like, being behind the bar.
Right.
You know?
We're not cynical about it yet.
Right.
Yeah. We haven't ground down after years.
We haven't been, like, beaten.
We still have our rotator cuffs.
Yeah, exactly.
I can raise my hands above my head.
Yeah. Right. But it's an interesting kind of, like, you know, point of view to check that out and, like, to write.
You're right.
Right. Yeah. It's a little fresher and a little lighter. You know, I feel like...
It's more about the celebration of the cocktail. Like, a lot of times what we... do here, like, on this show, so we talk a lot about bartending, we talk about service, we talk about hospitality, stuff like that. I know you guys definitely talk about that too, but it's kind of more like the celebration of the spirits in the cocktail.
We could definitely pass as bartenders, especially Dave, you know, if I
he's worked behind my bar.
I mean, Dave, mine too.
Two of mine.
Absolutely. I mean, so it is a unique perspective where, obviously, Dave and I could bar back for him. We could hold our own as a tag team.
but as long as I got somebody to run credit cards.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's always the fucker.
That's the one thing.
I could do the cash, but the credit cards just...
Someone to sweep up all the broken glass.
Yeah. Oh, there's not a lot of broken glass. Come on.
I'm kidding, man. You did great.
That's me. That was the one thing when we started the podcast. Dave said, I'm not handling the credit cards. Yeah. That's you, man.
You
run Square.
You run the credit cards.
You run the credit cards.
Yep.
Fine. Oh, God.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about your podcast some more. I want to know, like, honestly, when we come back, I want to touch on at least, like, I'm a follower of the Daily Beast, and I didn't know about your podcast until it was, like, 6 episodes in. You guys don't really promote it very well. Is that on purpose? Is it a speakeasy?
If you have ideas, let me know.
I mean, you just said you have a million unique visitors a day. That's a million potential listeners as well. All right, we're going to take a break. But before that, I want to talk real quickly about our summer fun drive. It's running until July 31st. We need to raise $25,000 so that we can keep shows like ours on the air. You can join our community by becoming a member. Make your voice heard. The voice of America's food movement and drinks. I think they always forget us in these things.
America.
There's some member gifts for different rates of donation. They're pretty cool. I think Damon's favorite one is the beer koozie. It says beer koozie or pot holder. Literally, no one's going to get the pot holder.
And if anybody gives $25,000,
they made like five of them.
Dave and I will go and ice them in person.
There's $25,000. $25,000 gets Dave Wondridge and Noah Rothbaum to fly to your city in America only.
At their expense.
We'll fly anywhere in the five boroughs.
Yes.
We're flying anywhere in the five boroughs.
And ice your ass.
Anywhere in the five boroughs. I think we could probably, you and I could probably put the money together to get him a chopper there.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Yeah, all right.
From like South Street Seaport?
Yeah, or near the West Side Highway. Yeah, yeah, we'll chop her out.
Yeah, we'll chop her out.
We'll bring a Smirnoff Ice and Booker's.
We'll chop her out to Sunnyside.
And a bottle of
they won't actually
meant, like, the motorcycle.
Ice you in person. I will ride you on the back of my chopper, actually. Yeah. I can only take one of you. I can get you a motorcycle. I know you know how to ride.
Yeah, we'll both ride over.
But maybe if we get on a helicopter, they just like kind of put a parachute,
and we could wear
down, you know, with ice.
And right. We could wear like the Easy Rider, you know, American flag helmet.
Yeah, man.
All
yeah.
All right, you heard it here first. Dave Wunderich and Noah Ruckbaum are willing to ice you for a $25,000 commitment to Heritage Radio Network.
It will be when you least expect it.
That's right. That's the other part. It's a surprise.
That's a single
in front
payment.
Of your coworkers.
Maybe at your wedding. Maybe at your dad's funeral. It's going to happen.
Exactly.
It could be during your dentist. SEC hearing.
Impound
right. We'll be right back after this.
Visiting the in-laws this weekend. They've asked you to bring wine. You need a bottle that says, I'm laid back enough that I didn't think about this choice for hours. But also, I've graduated from Two Buck Chuck, proving I can provide for your daughter and our future children. Where to go from here? Just ask Vivino. Vivino knows feeling pressured in the wine aisle can sour the whole experience. But with the largest wine inventory, Vivino gives you the best price on personalized picks based on your taste profile, then ships them right to your door. Scan wines, compare reviews, save your favorites, and even get unlimited free shipping with Vivino Premium, plus a free 30-day trial. So, when that next visit rolls around, you know exactly what that dry Alsatian Riesling says about your commitment to your mother-in-law's Sunday roast. Visit vivino.com/heritage to stock up. Vivino. Wine made easy.
All right, we're back. You're listening to the Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network.
That's right.
We got David and Noah in the studio.
Yeah,
we've been talking about something. I don't even.
We're talking about Life Behind Bars, the podcast that these two guys are helming over at the Daily Beast. Yeah, and before the break, I had asked you, like, how is it that this show, I'm a podcast listener, I'm a podcast doer. How did I not know about this show until it was, like, sixth episode? Are you guys not promoting it on purpose? Were you trying to feel out the waters?
I think it was kind of like a slow, you know,
Build.
Because it's
slow
build, like the first. It's a weekly, right?
Yeah, or not
bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly, okay, yeah. Twice a month.
We do like 15 episodes a week, so about roughly every other week, give or take. I don't want to scare people.
That would be bi-monthly.
But it's definitely, you know, I think it was sort of a slow rollout, just, you know, as we figured out, you know,
how are you finding the response? Are you looking at the rubrics? Can you see
what's
going
on? Yeah, absolutely. The numbers are definitely growing. I mean, it's kind of, I remember hearing Conan O'Brien talk about his show years ago, and he said, a year ago, what we would have thought, you know, high-fiving each other, like, awesome show. We're now like, okay, that was okay. You know what I mean? I think we've definitely found our pace where, you know, over the last probably 10 episodes, the listenership has more than doubled.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So we definitely...
That's good.
I think that's got to be a lot of just, again, word just getting out. Yeah. Like, I've tweeted about you guys a few
times.
Well,
thank you,
Because I'm a fan.
Always appreciated. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm a fan. It's a good show. Like I enjoy it. I do listen to a lot of podcasts, and it's a good one for me to listen to when I'm either setting up or tearing down the bar or walking around the city. Like, also I have to admit that like your familiar faces to me, so I can see your faces when I listen. So maybe that makes it better or worse.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Your nightmare.
Yeah.
And I would say that our collective nomination for Tales of the Cocktail.
I was about to bring that up too.
Is definitely a major feather in all of our caps. So.
So the Speakeasy that you're listening to now, as well as Life Behind Bars with these guys, along with Bartender at Large from our good friend Eric Castro.
Another very good podcast.
Yeah.
I guess.
Do you call that a podcast? it's a video.
Well, I guess it's a video, whatever it is. Yeah.
Vlog.
But I never watch it. I've been on that show twice, and I couldn't even watch my own episodes. I just listen. Why? It's easier to listen. I don't like watching it. I don't know.
All right. And Whiskey Cask.
It's not super. I mean, I love Eric, but it's not super dynamic, right? The camera angles are static. It's just two angles. You know, switch.
Yeah, he does it on a shoestring.
Yeah, of course. It definitely. It's awesome. Don't get me wrong. And the movie is awesome as well. But I'd rather listen to than watch. And then Whiskey Cask is on there too. And they've been on for a long time.
Yeah, Mark Gillespie, a one man band out of Pennsylvania.
And his show is very highly. I think maybe unlike the three that are also in the category, his show is very produced.
Produced and structured, yeah.
Yeah, he's obviously sitting there with notes, and he's got things to say on purpose. Oh, yeah. Whereas we just kind of...
And he had been a news reporter up in Anchorage, in Alaska. And, he started this, I don't know how many... I mean, you've been doing this 8 years now, right, Damon?
Almost 8 years,
yeah. I mean, I think this is a good long time.
I think the Whiskey Cask is like 11 years old.
Oh, at least, yeah. And, I mean, he'll he'll stick that microphone in your face, and he'll want to interview you.
Yeah,
it's a little bit different. The three of us are obviously clearly very similar, and then his is obviously whiskey focused. First of all,
damn it, does that make him the front runner?
Is he also in the what's the category? The specialty. You're up for one of those awards, right?
No, I'm only up for this one at this point.
No, for Amore Amargo.
No, we didn't make it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, rats. That's not right.
Thanks for bringing it up, Damon.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Listen, I'm happy that we were on the 10 list. We were on there for both the best cocktail bar, which is amazing.
I feel like I just iced myself again.
We were hanging out on that list with my favorite bar. So I even told Kenta, I said, Bargoto, I said, if we make it to the top four, both of us, then we have to fight.
It totally kicked your ass.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, totally. I wouldn't fight Kenta.
No. Nope.
And then we didn't make it, and I said, thank God we don't have to fight.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, though, like...
And then we were also up for World's Best Spirits list, which we were up for 2 years ago on the 10 list as well. And I literally, when I heard the news, I laughed out loud because I was like, that makes no sense. I have one bourbon. How am I on the best spirits list? But then I looked up the parameters, and it's either broad scope or singularity
to focus. You might have a lot of Amaros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard.
So it's either broad scope or singularity to focus. And I talked to a couple of the judges afterwards. Yeah. And I was like, what could I have done to be better? And they were like, you could have sent us your list. And I was like...
You didn't send the list?
I was like, I didn't know to do that. Yeah. Oh. And they were like, well, did you nominate yourself? And I was like, I didn't know I could do that either.
Oh.
So the following year, I sent him a list, and I nominated myself.
And you nothing.
This year, I sent him the list, which is now bigger, and nominated myself, and I made the 10 list again. So who knows? Maybe down the road, I'll make it.
But, and you think about it, I mean, it's 10 bars in the whole world.
No, exactly. It's
nuts.
It's crazy.
I mean, we're...
It's crazy to be considered.
I mean, once you get into... With any of these things, once you get into, like, top 10, that's great. Anything beyond that is a roll of the dice.
Yeah, exactly. And I can tell you from personal experience, losing from going from top 10 to top 4 is a lot easier to take than sitting there like a dummy and
in
New Orleans.
This room right here has a 50% shot at winning the thing. So we'll see you in New Orleans.
And, hey, you know what? Yeah, fucking cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, we'll make it.
You know what? All right, I propose this.
We take out Castro. Oh. Day of Pigs Part 2.
No, Gillespie. Oh, Jesus. Take out Gillespie. Come on.
We just combine our two shows.
The Daily Heritage Radio Network Beast.
There you go. There you go.
Speak easy behind bars.
The Beast Easy.
I don't know. It will be interesting to see.
Since we're talking about Tales of the Cocktail, a couple of things I want to bring up. But first... You're on another list, too, right?
We're on two more lists. So the Half Full is nominated for Best Spirits Cocktail Publication. So,
and you're on the four, yeah?
We're on the four. And then for Best Writer, I am in the four as well. Dave is no longer eligible for basically all the awards at Tales
because I've aged out.
Once you win them all.
Well, literally, so like, no joke, Dave... no longer is eligible to win Best Writer of the Year because he's won it twice. Another one of our lead columnists, Wayne Curtis, won it last year, so he's not eligible.
I fucking love the way he writes.
He's amazing.
Oh, he's a wonderful writer.
He's not eligible this year. Dave won Mentor of the Year last year. I think you can only win that once, maybe?
I believe once, yes.
So, there aren't that many awards that Dave is actually eligible for anymore. So basically, the only one is podcast and also best part of the best publication award. So lots of butterflies in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, settle them down with some yeah. bookers and
Smirnoff ice.
And roll down to New Orleans and have a good time as always. Yeah. Right?
There we go. Exactly.
What do you want to talk about, Tails? What do you guys think about what's going on, and what do you think about what's going to happen this year? Do you have opinions? Well, I'm sure you do.
Hi, how are you?
we're being noticed by the diners out here at Roberta's, an incredibly corporate crew
of
people.
Lots of dude bros out there.
Yeah, this is a...
Weirdly,
they all have copies of Imbibe that they want Dave to sign.
Yeah. The line will start when we get out. Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
Roberta's is for everybody because it's super awesome.
Yeah, it is super awesome.
Everybody loves pizza. Come on. Dave is not.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be going to Tails this year because
what the shit?
by the time they settled all the problems, for people who don't know, they had some serious issues with
the founder
and some unfortunate dialogue and behavior.
It tainted the whole thing.
They
sold it to a better organization that's making it into a nonprofit
and
a charitable organization.
My dream was that somebody, not another publication, not another individual, but literally turn it into the nonprofit it was always supposed to be.
And that looks like what they're doing.
And be more charitable.
Absolutely.
By the time they sold it, I'd made other plans for the summer.
And even the way that they now answer the phone, if you ever call, is now Tales of the Cocktail Foundation.
Yeah. Well, that's also their new logo, too.
Right. So it's really nice. And they've already started to they've already given out one round of money for people for projects, or they've solicited ideas.
They were here in New York a couple of weeks ago deciding who got those grants.
Right. So it's really, the money is now going to benefit a foundation. Whereas, who knows what was going on before, but the foundation was clearly secondary to everything else.
Exactly.
We're here, the main.
That's the primary focus.
Member of the group who bought it is the Solomon family, and they're big backers of the World War II Museum, which is a pretty amazing thing, and really big, funders a lot of awesome things that go on in New Orleans. So I think it's in a much better area, just much better footing. And
I think it's going to be great.
It needed a renewal, I think.
As a former New Orleanian and attendee of Tales for many years, I think what you just said is true. It needed a new face.
This was this wonderful event that every summer brought people together from all over the world who were interested in sort of the progressive wing of the bar world, who were interested in craft cocktails and history and culture, et cetera. And over the years, it kind of drifted and got more and more corporate and more about spending money on spectacles.
Yep.
And that got rid of that kind of cut down on the community aspect.
Yep.
And you'd ended up with just packs of roving young bartenders without really places to focus their energy or anything. And so they were just going from party to party, and it was only a party. And it used to be more than a party. And it looks like they're bringing it back to being a little more than a party.
And the one thing I think we forgot to mention is that it's in New Orleans, in the third week of July, which is basically as close as working in a steel forge as I think I'll ever get to. It's about 95 degrees and 95% humidity.
Yeah.
And it was traditionally always then because it's the deadest part of the year, and the hospitality industry is struggling.
Needing a
summer
boost. And also, for the goers of the festival, it's when it's off season, so everything's the cheapest. I used to live there. I get it. It makes sense.
Also,
in those ways,
you still need to bring a sweater because everything's
air conditioned like crazy
to 62 degrees.
Yeah.
I think
you're walking inside of a building from 110 degrees outside into 62. Every time you walk in or out of a place, it's a shock to the body.
Oh my god,
people get the flu every time.
You get that like weird tails, grip, in your throat.
It had nothing to do with all the cigarettes
or the frozen iced coffees frozen Irish coffees.
Aaron Rose.
Yeah.
Dave, we'll miss you there, but no, you're coming. Yeah.
I'm going to be there doing a talk on Tuesday about buying and selling of vintage spirits now that it's become, more pervasive and the laws are changing in a lot of states. So trying to sort of figure that out. So that'll be on Tuesday, and then a couple of book signings for my book, The Art of American Whiskey, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then obviously we'll all be at the awards show, except for Dave, I guess.
Yeah, I'll be in.
We're going to FaceTime.
Notably missed. Yeah,
I'll be in Sicily. So.
We'll get a.
It's not the end of the world.
We'll stuff a pillow and put an iPad on top of it.
Yeah, that's
good.
You can
FaceTime us like you're actually there.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of have a tradition of this because last year Dave had to leave early, and you know, we were up for Best Spirits and Cocktail Publication, which we did not win. We came in second by a hair, from what Paul Clark tells me. Maybe that's supposed
to be. He tells
a
everybody that doesn't win.
I know. Back when I had his job, that's what I told everybody. So,
well, I mean, you know what? Anybody feel better?
Well, you know, it was
really close.
We either came in 2, 3, or 4.
Tough decisions were made.
But Dave couldn't make it, so I had to accept his mentor played for him. So perhaps that is a good luck thing for us. So,
what do you do with that play? You eat off it? What do you?
I have a set of. Can I say how many I've got?
I think a lot.
You got enough for us to
have
dinner?
I've got 6. When Julie Reiner and I are planning on a dinner someday.
Yeah?
That's amazing.
Because she has a lot, too.
Yeah, she does. I was behind her bar during BCB a few weeks ago. Yeah. And
she was on our show last week.
Yeah, she was on our show last week.
Yeah. So.
Amazing times. Dude, so, okay. Going back to the thing about like skipping tails this year. Like last month there was a ton of amazing things, you know, Bar Convent Brooklyn, you know, I think a lot of brands actually kind of focused like more of their attention and honestly their budgets towards BCB for it being the first year.
Well, it's more of a trade show, and that's something that we don't really have here other than Las Vegas.
Yeah almost entirely
well,
trade.
Well, the WSWA concept.
Yeah.
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 So I think there's the... I don't know. There's just like more stuff. I feel like there's just something happening every week, man.
I know. It's crazy, right?
It's daunting.
I mean, even scheduling this podcast, like, I mean, it's basically a miracle that we're all in New York.
Right, at the same time.
On the 4th of July. Time.
Exactly.
On the 4th of July.
But it, I mean, it's...
Head out to
I
the beach after this.
I'm going to light some firecrackers in about 12 seconds.
I remember, Dave and I talk about this moment, and, you know, this didn't make, you know, the... This moment doesn't usually make the best, you know, 50 moments in cocktail history. But I remember Finlandia Vodka, it was probably like 02, 03, came out with Finlandia Mango, right?
And at groundbreaking.
Right.
Yeah.
But at the time, nothing else was going on. And it was like me, Dave, Gary Regan, Paul Packel, you know, Jeffrey Lindemuth. Like, we were all at this launch at the China Club. I mean, I thought it had closed like 10 years before. But literally, there's so few things going on. We were all there to be like, all right, like, I mean, we're going to try this mango-flavored vodka, I guess, you know, like. Whereas even for, like, the most revered product, it would be very hard to get that crowd together.
Yeah.
But at the time, we were happily there because...
What else?
There's nothing else going on. Not just product stuff.
It's the fact that, I mean, certainly in our industry, yes, but... tenfold that in New York City, it's just an embarrassment of riches every fucking day.
Well,
ten things going on that you have to like
every
say I'm going to. I want to go to 9 of them, but I can only go to one. So which one am I going to pick?
This is why I do events. You know, I do this Bar Smarts thing where with Paul Packelt and Doug Frost and Andy Seymour and Dale DeGroff, my hero and mentor and Steve Olson
let me get that for you. You dropped like a bunch of them.
Satchel full of names.
but we travel around the country and
like
test bartenders, and it's like we could do it in like San Francisco or New York.
Berries or whatever it is. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And I'm Roy Orbison. That is the weirdest one. Actually, no, that's Doug Frost. But anyway, we've done these in New York and San Francisco numerous times, but attendance is always a little bit of a struggle, and people are, you know, just like, oh, we know this stuff. Why are you doing this? Then we go to like Columbus or something or Cleveland, and people
are
just
hungry.
Thrilled.
Yeah.
And I would rather just keep going to these other markets, these other towns where they don't get this stuff every day, and people aren't so jaded, and you actually are giving them something that they don't have.
I totally agree. Two years ago, we did a program at a Moore called AYA Go South, and we went to 6 different southern cities, and we did a takeover.
Please tell me it was called Southern Go Southern.
No, it was AYA Go South, but that's next year. Southern Go Southern. That's for my book tour. And we would go into these. We went to Charleston, Atlanta, Birmingham, Tampa.
Fabulous.
I can't remember all of them, but we went to a bunch of cities, and we would go in on Sunday night and take over a bar and do Amore Margo drinks all night long. No other option. So we would turn these bars into our bars so that you couldn't be like, oh, I'm just here to have a daiquiri. And then the next day we would have this was the bigger part. The next day we would have a meeting with the USBG. And, you know, I was formerly the president of the New York chapter, and we have 500 plus members.
Right.
And if we get 100 members to show up at each monthly meeting, that's...
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah. We feel good.
Yeah.
25%, that's great. I was in Atlanta, 114 people showed up, and I asked the president, I was like, how many people do you have in your whole USBG? And he's like, 127.
Yeah.
And he's like, the other guys had to work, some guys on vacation. Like,
chicken pox.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit, you guys fucking turn out. And that's the thing. Smaller markets don't get that embarrassment of riches that we have, so they are hungry for everything that gets thrown their way.
It's really exciting, I think.
And it was super exciting.
Yeah.
Dave and I did a talk last year or the year before up in Detroit at the Detroit Athletic Club, which is, as Dave told me, is the home of The Last Word, right?
Yeah.
During The Last Word, we had all these bartenders from Detroit, Chicago, packed. I mean, like, you know, I don't know, over 100 bars. It was awesome. Like, talking about the history of drinking in Detroit and the rye, you know, rye heritage in that area, you know, coming from Canada. And it was an amazing experience, and also probably the most diverse crowd that's ever been led into the Detroit.
You're damn right about that.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, man. I was in, I did a master class in Florence. You're going to be pretty close by there next week, or in 2 weeks. And all these bartenders came from, like, Bologna, Roma, Venice.
Right, as far as it is, isn't it great?
Yeah. They were like, dude, it was a great turnout.
Yeah.
Same thing with, like, I went to Camp Runamuck a little over a month ago. All these different markets that don't get as much attention from, like, all the brand ambassadors or any of that money. It's like, they're actually more hardcore and badass than a lot of us in, like, New York and San Francisco and those, like, the bigger markets, because they're so much more driven.
And also, they're doing everything, or they're at least trying to do everything we're doing.
They don't get everything.
And they're kind of doing it blind and without half the equipment.
Yeah.
Right? They're grunting it out, whereas we've got, like, oh, yeah, Dave's got a centrifuge I can borrow if I need it.
Yeah. Well,
I remember.
you know what I mean?
I remember being in Oklahoma, your home state, last summer in Tulsa. Dave is going there in the fall for the Philbrook. They do that big mix.
Yeah.
And just blown away by the bar scene. You know, walking into this one bar, and they had, I don't know, a full case of the Plantation Rum Pineapple.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've never seen this much Plantation Rum. And the guy was like, yeah, we have the whole state's allocation right here. I was like, that's really awesome.
This reminds me, back in the early 80s, I played in bands, and I would tour around the country in New York style, new wave / punk / psychedelic.
This was
band.
Also our very first conversation.
Yeah.
While you were teaching Linnell's. Me how to make Tom and Jerry's in
Blue Blazers. Blue Blazers with Linnell's rye, no less.
Yeah, exactly.
We used probably $12,000 worth of rye. But now, by today's dollars.
Thanks, Linnell.
But back in the day, you know, you'd go to these towns, and coming from New York, it's like our band, we were kind of like did like this stuff, you know, it was music, it was a little like a little this, a little that. And you go to these towns, and the punk bands were so punk, they were so pure. There'd be I remember we hit Denver, and we're staying with these guys we knew. The guy's band was called the Frantics, and their hit was My Dad's a Fucking Alcoholic. and man, that song was fierce, and you know, came from experience and was absolutely hardcore. And you know, in New York, it's like you can't be that sincere, you know. It's like you can't be that naked and raw. Everything has to be a little more artistic, because you're competing with a whole bunch of people, and there's a little more, there are layers of stuff. And I think it's the same with drinks, as you go to these places and they're all in. You know, they're 100% in, in New York, I mean, it's great. We have some of the most amazing bartenders in the world. I'm in the presence of two of them right now, and Noah's not one of them.
I was like, Dave, that's the sweetest thing you ever said. Oh, wait.
No,
two. There's three of us.
Other good skills.
Yeah.
It was close. He lost by a hair.
Yeah. I know.
Again. It was a tough decision.
But you you know, it's like you guys are also doing like Heritage Radio. You're doing a bunch of other things. These are people who just, you know, they go in and they bartend. And that's like a fierce commitment.
I mean, I think it's I think it's very gratifying for all of us to go to these other markets and all places, and you know, cocktails, you know, are you know, ubiquitous. I mean, you can get great drinks. You know, like, you know, there are people who come up to me at Tales and say, like, I run like the third best absinthe bar in like Kansas. And you're like,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, are there?
Wait, there's three.
There are three. Yeah. Like, okay, cool. Like, you know, like, and I, you know, I think that there's really one of these things where, you know, the whole goal of the rebirth of the cocktail was to make the world drink better, right?
Right.
Yeah, and absolutely. I think we're winning. I mean, yeah. It's definitely winning. I mean, I think there's definitely a bitter faction, you know, who's a little bit sad that, you know, all of this knowledge is now, you know, is available to the masses. But that's
not me.
But the whole thing was not for seven of us.
More.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's not, the goal wasn't for like 10 of us to drink better. No, it was like
everybody.
The world.
Everybody.
Like the idea was that no matter if they, you know who the bartender is or the bar or the restaurant, that you can go in and you can get a good drink. They have a
without being made to feel
beer.
Like an idiot.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right. And, you know, you can order a drink and it's a great drink, and that's it. You don't have to think about it. Whereas,
I think it's Dale DeGroff who said the goal of this whole revolution is so that I can get a decent, and I think that's the hard word in the thing,
exactly.
A decent Negroni at the Howard Johnson's in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah, what I used to say when I started writing for Esquire and end of 1999, I would tell my friends, they'd say, "Why are you doing this? You know, this is a little weird." And when I was writing about drinks, it started, and I'd say, "Well, I want to be able to go into any bar in America and get a decent Manhattan." And then we'd all laugh, you know. Right. It was like, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knows how to make a Manhattan. You'd go into bars, they'd fuck
bitters.
It up in the most ridiculous ways.
Who has bitters?
And some of them still do, but yeah, there was no bitters. There's no rye whiskey. They'd use Canadian Club at best, you know, and they'd hardly put any vermouth in. One thing after another, it never tasted right.
And it was full of maraschino.
Yeah, maraschino. Yeah, because they didn't put enough vermouth in.
The juice.
Yeah. Well, because you can't put vermouth in because vermouth is toxic waste. You learned that from the martini.
Yeah.
So you put a little vermouth, and then you know enough to say, that doesn't taste right. So I'm going to put the cherry yuck in there.
Yeah.
You know, this like polymer that the cherries are suspended
in. It's a clear upgrade.
Yeah, it's a clear upgrade. And that'll fix it. You know, it's like, and you go, but... Like that was just inconceivable that you would ever be able to, that would ever change.
I think that you should put that back on the menu at both of your bars. You just, you know, the kind of amazing.
I would love to. I do different theme menus for every season. I would love to just have like botched cocktails and like.
Yeah.
just for one night, just, actually. Like we do the menu flip and just one night only just to fuck with people. It's like. like muddled old fashions, like with Sprite.
Yeah.
Sorry, Robert Simonson.
messed up
Manhattan. That's with Brandy.
Yeah. You know, the cool thing, even getting back to the like talking about these different markets and stuff like that, like I was at Camp Run Amok and to see like the how excited everyone is about this.
Yeah.
And like the people that I ran to that listen to this show and your show, it's really exciting to like to get involved in like
it's exciting to know that we're reaching people.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It, to be honest, it scares the hell out of me when somebody's like, "Oh, I was just listening to your show during my run this morning." I'm like, "Ah,
yeah,
why?
What did we do? Where did we screw up?
I'll ask this: do you guys obsess? Do you listen to your show, to your own show?
Dave? Okay, can I say something?
Yeah,
I've never listened to a podcast in my life.
Any podcast?
Dave is not a big.
All right, good.
I don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah, you're a reader,
but also at the same time,
have
you ever listened to any music that you've recorded?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to listen to that because you got to fix it. Right?
Well, I don't like listening to my own band, but I listen to it once a week.
We listen to it every week.
Yeah, there you go. See, yeah.
So, but what about you? No, do you listen to your
show? To be fair, I put the podcast on a wax Edifone cylinder for Dave.
I'll listen to that. Yeah.
Like,
but you got it comes in the box.
I know what that is.
Yeah. It comes in a box of 10 cylinders, you know, to get the half hour and they're labeled, and I, you know, I put them on the Edison machine.
Noah, though, do you listen?
I do. I actually have to listen to them too. I go through with it with our editor.
Oh, you edit,
we don't. I mean, to be honest, I mean,
it's 30 minutes, but it's. I can hear when the edits clip in.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, compared to, I mean, a lot of other shows, we do very little editing. To be honest, I mean, it's not.
We do none. We're lazy fuckers.
Some people do like, you know, the intros or the
outros. We give ourselves away.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
full blown.
I just,
I mean, it's
like being on the bar. I can't edit that shit. If I say something wrong, I'll apologize.
Yeah.
That's what we're two bartenders before, doing.
Remember that one time I called our guest by the totally wrong name. He didn't correct me. And then by the end of the show, he's like, yeah, that's not my name. And I was like, what the shit? Yeah. The next week, I had to be like, hey, last week, the guy's name was different.
Yeah.
You did that.
So you let the show went out.
Yeah, it had to. Yeah.
Show must go on, dude.
It's live. We're live right now.
It turns out Pete, the role of Pete was played by Jim.
Noah's face just sank when I said we're live. We're live, bro.
You're like,
here's the thing. I do listen.
You're like, listen, Nora, we're live. Yeah. It's fine. It's only fine, Nora.
So I listen to every single episode, usually day of, because we're live, but then we go podcast, and then when I'm cleaning up my bar, because I work every Wednesday, when I'm cleaning up the bar every Wednesday night, I listen to the show.
I've never been able to listen to myself talk.
It's very hard, though, for me to listen to. Like, I could, like, listening to your podcast or somebody else's podcast is, like, enjoyable for me, but when I, you know, when I listen to this, it's like when I reread one of my stories, I'm looking for, like, missed commas and, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
And at least with that, I can drop that in.
Fix it,
like, you know, some misspelled word or something
editing
missing.
Editing in post.
Exactly.
There's no fixing
which
this.
We can't.
I don't know.
Wait till the next iPhone comes out.
We're full throttle. We're wide open.
it'll be in there.
I mean, it's always funny to me. Like, I always think about, like, what it must be like Dale DeGroff to go to a cocktail bar and just see all these mistakes. I've tried to get him to admit this, but he won't. We're like, how does he enjoy it, right? Because he knows, he sees everything, right? Like, it bothers me when somebody can't, like, get the, you know, their shaker apart, and they're like, bang it, and like, just give it to me, I'll do it, you know? Yeah. Like,
let me teach you. Let me teach you the skill that you'll have forever.
Right, like Dale's taught me, like, one of the, like, one millionth of his knowledge, and it's like, but he seems to enjoy it. Like, he can turn that part off of his brain.
But, you know, he's humble enough to know the same thing. Like, I recently saw him as my book was finally finished and headed off to be printed. No more changes, right? It's done.
Right.
And I said to him, look, I saw that your first book is in its 14th printing.
Yeah.
I said, are there any mistakes in there? He's like, oh, fuck, there's so many mistakes in there.
Yeah, yeah.
There's mistakes in there that were mistakes when I wrote it, right. And there are mistakes in there where it's just shit has changed. And I'm like, well, what the? How do you deal with that? You just fucking deal with it.
Well, that's not why I had to do a second edition of Imbibe. Is like, people, I would go into bars and people were using it as a textbook, and it's like, this isn't right. You know, things have changed so much. I've got to really correct this.
Wait, well, you're saying that you were wrong by saying, like, after every cocktail that you talked about, not too bad with a little champagne on top of it.
Yeah, I love that.
Because you said that.
Hey, that's true, actually.
Yeah, I know.
any cocktail can be approved.
I've really been cool with that.
You've embraced that at your bar. You even had it on your menu for a while, right?
Yeah.
Any cocktail.
Making a Royale.
The champagne upgrade. Come on.
Any cocktail. Cocktails that were already Royales can add
making a Royale.
It's the double Royale.
Well, I mean,
it's the Imperial.
I mean, maybe I'm mistaken, but I think you said to me that before that the big difference between the two versions of your book was in the first you said that Jerry Thomas came up with all this. The second one, Jerry Thomas, it was actually Marlowe and like a crew of writers who came up with all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was the Earl of Beaconsfield actually Jerry Thomas.
Right.
And Jerry Thomas was a pen name.
Exactly. For a collective.
For the whole collective. That's right. Yep. That's right.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
It was Harry Johnson, actually.
Exactly.
So, guys, it's been a great pleasure having you on here, but we are closing in on our end time.
Hey, I want to say real quick.
Yeah.
Because it's something we talk about often, and we kind of touched on it before. You know, like, you got all these different people that, from different markets and different cities, different towns, that are really interested in cocktails and bartending, and they want to, like, hone their skills and, like, learn more. Something we do on this show quite often is we'll invite people into the studio just
to hang out, whether they speak or not. Yeah.
Yeah. So for any of the listeners out there, we've done it quite a bit.
A lot.
Especially over the last, like, I don't know, six months.
Yeah.
But so just in the spirit of hospitality, and just since we were talking about it before, you know, for any of our listeners out there, if you're in New York City.
On a Wednesday.
And you want to come in.
Hit us up.
Do it.
We
have seats.
There's plenty of seats in here.
I have to say, I thought that whole build-up, you were going to whip out two bottles of Smirnoff Ice.
That's
the whole time.
I'm going to get you back, motherfucker.
You will, too.
I was really, like, tense for a second there. You're like,
on my list. I will say this. As I said at the beginning, though, I've only been iced once before. Guess who? That was by Dushan Zarek.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
you've got a good record.
And I took it. We were at a party. I was like, fuck it, I'll take it. But normally my response is, forgive me if I don't shake hands. I just say no. Tanya Guffey had a great approach. She used to nice people. I don't know if she still does anymore, but she used to hit you with a bottle of coconut water.
Oh, that's nice.
That was nicing you.
Yeah, that's nice.
That was helping you get through your evening. If you looked a little fucked up, she would nice you.
Bush League.
See,
then she'd make you do a layback of Fernet or something.
Yeah, for me, it's a bottle of Booker's. you got to neck the whole bottle.
What you didn't say about Tanya was it was a glass bottle of coconut water, like right over your head.
Yeah, exactly. She smashed it over your head. So anyway, let's talk real fast about your podcast. It's called Life Behind Bars. You can find it on all platforms.
iTunes, Daily Beast, SoundCloud. That's the main ones.
Those are the main ones, probably on Stitcher as well.
Thank you for having us.
No, man, you guys are great.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
I'm sad we're not going to see you at Tales of the Cocktail, but you'll be off in Italy having a great time. Noah will see you at the Spirited Awards, if not before.
I will be dodging you because I know Ice will be coming, but I'll have Ice at all times to block you too. I'm like, Dave, I'm gonna have to pay the price for this.
Yeah, but you are.
Matt Rodolfiker, one of the corporate chefs over at Momofuku, he used to keep on his station at all times because he was so nervous that he was gonna get ice. He used to keep a full hotel pan full of ice, little ice, and 12 Smirnoff ice, and he called it the ice block. If you tried to ice him, he would pull that out.
Yeah. Oh.
The whole thing.
Okay. The whole thing. He would pull out a huge chunk of ice full of Smirnoff ice.
I'm going to be pulling around.
He used to be a Boy Scout, right?
The ice block, probably.
I'd be pulling around like a little cart.
I recognize that, yeah.
Well, we got to wrap up the show. Please go to Heritage Radio Network and donate some money to keep shows like this on air. Again, $25,000 gets you Dave Wunder to Noah Rothbaum to come wherever you are on a surprise visit.
And also, for $50,000, you get to ice us.
Yeah, and for $50,000, you can ice them.
And you can drive the helicopter. You can also, for those of you out there, you can actually, it's something I do, done for like NPR in the past and stuff like that, but you can actually set up a monthly recurring donation for Heritage Radio Network.
Noah. Oh, or Heritage.
Or you guys, too. But yeah, it's extremely affordable, and it definitely helps us keep the radio station going.
The fun thing is now you can even choose the show you want to donate to specifically.
And also, it's probably the Speakeasy.
It's probably the Speakeasy.
Yeah, probably the Speakeasy.
Let's be honest.
We're really floating the whole station. You know, we're keeping
it's us or cooking issues.
Yeah. But Dave Arnold keeps breaking all the microphones, so.
Yeah, he does.
That's where most of our money goes.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah. All right, so that's it for the Speakeasy this week.
Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July. Check out Heritage Radio Network for many other programs like this one. Also, got to check out Life Behind Bars. It's a great show, and really happy to have you guys on the show. Until we see you next time, arrivederci.
Arrivederci.
Yeah, have fun in Italy.
All right, cheers, y'all.
Cheers, guys.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that Sam is gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.